Dicks and pussies, dicks and pussies, dicks and pussies.
Do what?
Dicks and pussies, dicks and pussies.
Kyle, that's not the copy.
What is the copy?
Kyle, go to adamandeve.com for a limited time. We've talked about adamandeve.com. You know what I'm talking about.
Dicks and pussies, dicks and pussies.
50% off just about any item. Any item. Kyle, also, did you know this? When you select your one item at 50% off?
Select these nuts.
They're going to throw in 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift.
Who's still throwing DVDs in the old player?
I like a good DVD.
I can't escape just from thinking it like the drop down TVs in minivans.
Well, yeah,
like that's that would be your case. Like yeah, I'm like, where do you watch DVD? Like, you do it to keep the kids in the back seat.
Well, you know what I like about a DVD? There's no digital trail. You're not like with download and stuff.
Oh, like when you show me your new Mac and you couldn't understand what wasn't working, and I was like, mm-hmm. Well, clear your history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I didn't figure that out. free mystery gift, three free adult DVDs. Guess what, Kyle? To top it all off, you're going to throw in free shipping on your entire order.
Ship it to D's nuts.
Go to adamandeve.com, Kyle, and use code Boogie at checkout. And if you can't spell the name of your own podcast, it's Boogie. AdamandEve.com. Use code Boogie at AdamandEve.com, Kyle.
Dicks and pussies, dicks and pussies, dicks and pussies.
You get it.
Butts.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Do it.
Oh yeah? You do it.
No, you said you got a good weird thing to talk about that happened in real life.
Oh, okay.
What happened in your real life?
Immediately get into that.
I mean, I just like what? I mean, what do we need to do? What do you want to do? Formalities?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kyle Kinane. This is Dave Stone. Together, we're the Boogie Monster. Curious about the unknown? We're your guys.
Welcome, everybody.
We just ate the fuck out of some ham.
Whoo, boy. That was surprise ham.
Oh, old Rachel just had a bag of ham from Easter.
Mm.
And I've been off that veggie truck for a while. I fell off the turnip truck. I almost said literally, but that's not how you use that word. But I did fall off the turnip truck and fell onto the meat wagon. From Chicago to New York to Philadelphia, I was eating them meats. Oh.
Anything stick out as a memorable meat?
Rachel's ham.
Yeah.
You just had some.
Oh, boy. That was good.
All right. So I went back to Chicago, and I was like, all right, if I'm going, I can't. Unless I visit like a couple times frequently, then I can skip my Portillo's and my Arturo's. I mean, they have much better restaurants, but that's the stuff I like to have.
Uh-huh.
Burritos that are just burritos. It's the meat. And then some cheese, lettuce, tomatoes in there.
Mm-hmm.
No rice and beans. No fucking around.
Okay.
So I had that, and I had my Portillo's, and then it was Easter, and I went and had all-you-could-eat buffet at the zoo, at the Brookfield Zoo, which my cousin's husband pointed out. He's like, I always feel kind of weird that we're coming to this place that's already kind of like an animal prison, and then we're just going to eat a bunch of them. And he's not vegetarian. He's a guy that's in tune with the world. Mm-hmm. And I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, it's a little weird that we'll just gawk at some of these animals and eat the rest of them.
Yeah, zoo to table.
All because Jesus. And then I paid his kid $20 to drink a mini bottle of ketchup.
Did she do it?
She tried. You can't. It's like the little ones. You really got to beat the shit out of them just to get the bottle, not the kid. But you get to get the ketchup out. But like the fact that she was out like trying, she's kind of like sticking her tongue in it. She was willing to, so that was enough. And I can't. I don't know how I got talked to. I was started at 5.
What you got to do is you got to take that first hit, get a little bit of it out of the bottle, then put some water in there, shake it up, a ketchup smoothie.
I'm glad she didn't have that information on that end. I was about to be like, get it out of there with a spoon. Let's see. I paid $20 to see that bottle gone. But, you know, when we force a little kid to eat the ketchup.
Did you give her the money?
Yeah, I got the cash. Then somebody else scammed her out of money, too. She got another $20 out of it. Because I think somebody gave her money to tip. Like, oh, it'd be cute if a kid tips our buffet server. And I think she snuck a $20 out of the tip.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
5 years old, made off with $40 on Easter Sunday. Just pure hustle.
Wow, a little hustler.
Pure hustle on Jesus' second birthday.
Good for her.
Not that Jesus turned two, but born again. You know, whatever. However Easter works.
Well, welcome back, man. You've been out for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, about 10 days on this one.
Yeah? Went well?
Yeah, it was a good run. Big thanks to everybody that came out to shows in New York and Philadelphia. Big thanks to the gentleman in the front row in Philadelphia who yelled out concern for you.
Oh, yeah? What'd he say?
Just in the middle of the show, he just goes, how's Dave doing? I'm like, I guess we'll address this.
Oh, he heckled you. Not heckled, but he interrupted.
Interrupted the show and to ask how you were doing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was, that's not your fault. Yeah, you didn't, it's not like your presence turned people into assholes.
Yeah, but if I was clearly doing well, he wouldn't have had to ask. And,
well, I guess. But then I got to say, I'm like, he's out of the van. And a good number of the audience was like, it was news to them.
Yeah. Well, I have.
I didn't mean to blow your secret here.
Yeah, that's
I fine. Wasn't sure. I said it to kind of like quell that guy.
Yeah, I was going to save it for a little bit, but hey. I'm officially, as of last Tuesday, I'm officially...
Officially out of the van.
Out of the van, dude. Yeah. It's only been...
I wish we had fanfare.
On this second administration, it's only been 438 days. But, yeah, out of the van, dude. So...
Dave, I'm proud of you.
I'm... You know, I figured I'm 40. It's time to get serious.
Proud of you. Proud of you, dude. You deserve reggae horns. That's the best I can get on short notice. It was a YouTube clip.
That's
sorry about that.
Moved in with a lady.
Yeah.
And, doing it all above board. I'm paying the rent. Not all the rent. I'm paying my portion of the rent. She was trying to get me in a few months ago, and I was like, I'm not going to do it till I can contribute, you know, pay half the rent, that kind of thing. And, you know, thanks to Patreon and all you guys' support, the income's creeping up a little bit, and finally able to get a roof over
my head. So now if you pull your money out, now there's a life at stake. Now you'll actively make a homeless person if you discontinue your support of the podcast.
Oh, but yeah, it's very excited. Just to kind of to recap, I lived in a van for 2.5 years a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That was the old white van. Rest in peace. Got hit head on by a drunk driver.
You never name it.
Never could come up with the right name.
I don't name my cars.
Yeah, I just I felt like I should have, but it wasn't. I didn't want to force it, and I organically never came up with a good name. So I lived in that van for just over 2.5 years, and then I got a place for about a year. Then I moved in with Ryan Singer for about a year, and then for the last 400 some days, I'd been in the minivan, and now I'm a regular resident of Silver Lake, California.
You got two keys on that king ring now.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a couple different keys. You got to sort out your keys.
But yeah, man, it feels good. It feels weird.
House keys and car keys are different.
I'm still kind of feral, you know. But
peeing in her plants?
Yeah, I'm, you know, just...
What you doing?
I'm just, you know, I'm institutionalized.
Reaching under the fridge for crumbs? What are you doing?
I'm like Brooks in Shawshank.
Yeah.
Gonna hang myself. No.
Washing your socks in the toilet? What are you doing?
No, it does feel weird, though. So it feels weird not to have to plan my bathroom visits.
Yeah, you get to shit whenever you want.
Yeah, I can. Oh, man. It's just there all the time, you know? So
I do know.
That's exciting.
I've lived like that my whole life.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. She's got her own shower. That's cool. I don't have to go to the Y to shower. So,
one bathroom, right?
One bathroom. So, you know.
But, are you going to get over this if you got to pee and she's in the shower thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, there's a plastic bottle sitting around. That's what it's for.
I mean, I would hate to see you blow this opportunity because you're still peeing in cups.
What happened to Dave? Well, he was a sweet guy, but...
He's an outdoor cat. Once an outdoor cat, always an outdoor cat.
Oh, every morning I bring dead squirrels to home in the kitchen.
He'll come in for a meal and some snuggling, but he's got to live out there in the trees. He's got to be out there in the dirt. Hunting, he's a hunter.
Speaking of outdoors.
Speaking of which.
First night I'm moving in, All right. She's got a little balcony in the back, and her apartment's in the back of this property. And so we're hanging out in the balcony, and I kid you not, we hear some rustling, kind of. It's hard to explain, but like the back of her building looks into the rear parking lot, and then above that, you know, it's kind of on the side of a hill. So way up above that is like the next neighborhood. There's a street you can get up over there, and there's a power pole. There's a telephone pole or a power pole. You know, probably from her patio, I would say 30 yards away.
Yeah,
and kind of right in front. And this is about 10 o'clock at night. It's dark. And I hear some rustling up in the tree. And it's dark. There's no lights around. But I could barely make out that some dude with climbing equipment, like with like mountain climbing gear, with like a repelling gear.
Yeah.
You know, with the ropes and everything. Climbing up in this power pole, which, you know,
really,
you think during the day, utility
workers. Like your standard wood one, not like the big four-post giant transformer.
I couldn't tell if it was cement or wood, but it was a one pole.
Okay.
But all right, and so dude, I could barely see him because there's no lights around. But he was climbing up this power pole with all the gear in the dark. No headlamp, no flashlight, no nothing.
Oh, so.
And he's up there like clanking around and doing shit.
Getting that illegal cable.
You think that's what he was doing?
I told you that's what my buddy used to do.
Yeah.
I told you that, right? And put the hard hat on, the orange vest. Somebody thought he worked for the cable company.
Well, I just thought it was weird.
This is a riskier.
Yeah. Doing it at night and with no lights. Like, you know, if it was a utility worker.
No, that's suspect.
A county worker, he'd be up there. Even if he had to go do something at night, he'd have a headlamp or a flashlight or something.
Well, and that's like, if you have to do something at night, that's a real emergency. Mm-hmm. Power wasn't out or nothing.
No, power wasn't out. And, I just thought it so suspicious that he himself had no lights. Like, he didn't want to attract
any attention.
Did you watch
him for a while? See what was on?
Watched him for like 30 minutes. Just up there. I couldn't see him too well, but I could see.
He was like Rick Dukeman in The Burbs when he's going to go disconnect. I don't know what happened to Rick Dukeman, but he was real funny in The Burbs.
Yeah. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. That guy. Great character.
Did stand up. Yeah.
So that was weird.
And no. Like, you don't know what was going on. I mean,
I stayed out there and, you know, and then he would get like, he would be like real silent and quiet and like still. Like, he'd screw around. You'd hear like tools, like metal on metal clanking around. And then there'd just be nothing for like 5 minutes. And then 5 minutes later, you'd hear a little.
That feels like it's some real FBI wiretapping sneaky shit.
That's what I felt like. That's the only thing I could deduce that it could be.
You just stand down there like, hey, man.
And I don't know if he saw me, but we were both just out there, just like like a free show, just watching. Like, and we were being like, shh, be quiet.
Well, I would have been like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You need any help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I didn't know what to do. So
that's suspicious behavior.
It was very
what
suspicious.
What time at night?
It's about 10 or 11.
Okay. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, weird stuff. So that happened.
Maybe they're on to you. Maybe they know he's moving indoors. We got to get a line on that.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, man, feels good to be indoors, just like a normal person.
So. Congrats. Well, that was 95 degrees yesterday. I bet you enjoyed.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Yeah, good. Well, okay, congratulations, buddy.
Man. It's good times.
I'm sure we're all proud of you. I speak on behalf of all the listeners. We're very proud of you.
But yeah, man, had a good week. Easter, went out to Pioneer Town.
Yeah, Pioneer Town and Joshua Tree.
Yeah, for those who don't know the area, near Joshua Tree, kind of. I guess that's – what desert would you call that? That's not the Mojave, is it?
Yeah, it's Mojave.
Yeah, Mojave Desert. And just went out there just for the heck of it.
Right next to Pappy and Harriet's legendary music venue.
We stayed at the motel that was literally on the property of Pappy and Harriet. So that was cool. It's just a cool little – just your old classic, you know, one-story motel, but they've kind of redone it to make it kind of look like log cabins or something.
Yeah.
And literally, you know, 20 yards from Pappy and Harriet's, and they had a cool live cover band, and they were playing kind of out on the little patio thing. So
we just
sat on our little porch and just listened to the band.
You walked through a little Wild West town next to it.
That little Wild West town.
There's a movie set, Wild West town. I forget which actor built it out there to make movies, and then they just kind of left it. Bowling alley still out there.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool, and went UFO hunting at 2 a.m. Just what that means.
Just sat outside.
Just sat outside.
Yeah, I know what it means.
But also heard a bunch of coyotes at like 3 a.m. We're still up messing around, and I hear like a dozen coyotes It seemed like right outside our back window. And I was, I literally was like, I'll be back in a minute, honey.
Time to show them.
And I went out there. And
time to fulfill a dream.
I couldn't find them. But that, they, yeah, I was down.
I've camped out there, and that's an eerie feeling where you hear them. Before, I was even used to coyotes. Now I see them on the street here, and I'm like, I get it. They're around. But when you don't know about them, and they just get lumped in, you know, when you're just a suburban idiot, mm-hmm. and they just get lumped in with wild animals roaming free, and you're in a tent, and you hear a howl that's, like, far away.
Yeah.
And a few minutes go by, and then you hear a howl, and it's a lot closer, and you're like, oh, they're coming for me.
Yeah.
You know? It's a weird thing about being in a tent. It's like this idea that this is my shelter.
Yeah.
But then if you hear something right outside, it's the scariest thing. Like, oh, yeah, you want to get through this piece of fabric that I holds all my security is like in this, you know, parachute pants that I've opened up over myself. I love that desert, baby.
Yeah, man. It was a good time. Good time out there. And yeah, just had a good week. This week,
did you do the hot springs out there at all?
I did not. Where are they?
You know what? I don't know if I still. I had a Xerox copy map that was a hand drawn map when years and years ago I went out there with a ex lady friend and stayed at the Pioneer Town Hotel. And this map was like, we're parking on some, and some guy with a sort of a Rangers, like park Rangers hat on, but then just a t-shirt. Like it wasn't, he was just in a booth on some desert land. He's like, yeah, this is private property, but you can park here. I'm supposed to tell you, you can't be down there past night. But it was real loose. Like he was not sanctioned.
Huh.
Like I think he killed a park ranger and stole his outfit.
Probably.
And we hiked down there, and we got there's a real cold creek. It was like November when we went to get to these hot springs. And the girl I was dating was like, "Yeah, we'll just take our clothes off now." I'm like, "All right, we just leave our clothes on this side of the cold creek, and then just go naked." There's people over there. It's like, yeah, whatever. And it was just a little nudie hippie.
Hmm.
And I got stuck trying to go between one hot spring and another. It was a very narrow, kind of narrow ledge, and I was trying to like scoot across it. And so I was facing the rock with my ass towards the hot spring, and I was trying. But then it got real slippery, and I got stuck. And so basically, I was just like, basically just starfished, holding onto this boulder with my asshole, just everything short of just pulled open for people. For these hippies in the one hot, in the lower hot spring, because I was trying to get up to the other one, and so just imagine the most splayed out position you can be, trying to scramble up a boulder while also nude.
Huh.
And it was just me apologizing. Like I didn't want to slip. I couldn't just jump into the hot spring. We're gonna like, and I just got stuck. And I was like, I'm real sorry, everybody. And it was just, and they were below it, so they were just looking up into my whole asshole.
Oh God.
And that was anyway. So that's those hot springs.
That's an awful story.
Yeah. Well.
Hmm.
That's all. You know, I remember an awful story that I remembered from my youth that I forgot was that I used to have something called sweaty sock syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, my feet would get dry and cracked, and the solution my pediatrician gave my mom formaldehyde. I had to sleep with my feet in sandwich bags with formaldehyde in them. That's fucked up, right? I just forgot about that and remember it recently. Oh, yeah, I used to have to sleep with sandwich bags filled with human preservatives.
Huh.
Like my feet were dying. Like they zombified my feet as a child.
How did your feet stay in the bags?
I put socks back on over the bags.
Oh, okay.
And so I just had to sleep like weird crunchy feet for a while.
And that did what? That kept your feet from sweating?
I guess from dying. It's formaldehyde. It just preserves your flesh because I guess my flesh was dying on my feet. Anyway, a thing I remembered, thought it might be fun to share.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
Oh, I got to get this off my chest real quick.
Get it out.
I'm watching, started watching this series. I guess it's fairly new. I don't know. I guess it's been out for a few months, maybe a year on Netflix.
Kramer versus Kramer.
You guys ever heard of Cheers? No. Manhunt, Unabomber. Have you seen this on Netflix? It's a not a documentary series, but it's a scripted series about the Unabomber case.
Okay.
And I've always been fascinated with that case. And it's a good show, but like it's one of those like tropes that I get so annoyed with like anything like the typical cop drama trope of like the young cop trying to do his job well.
Oh, yeah.
And the sergeant keeps shutting him down. Like, no, don't. don't track down that lead. You know, follow the protocol.
We do it by the books.
And this is the worst example I've ever seen. I get exaggerating things for dramatic effect and things like that. But all right, so and I got to research to figure out if this really happened or if this was just they were taking liberties with the script. Mm. But long story short, they're hunting the Unabomber. For 17 years.
Manhunting him.
Yeah, they're man. 17 years they haven't caught this guy, you know, back then, you know, when they catch him. They caught him in like 97, something like that. Anyway, so at the time, 17 years they're looking for this guy. And the story of this show is about the FBI agent who I think tracked him down, figured out where he was. And this guy was a profiler. So he did all the psychological profiling and he kind of invented a new technique. What do they call it? Linguistic forensics, where you know he would read letters and stuff that this guy wrote and tried to figure out.
Okay, a little like a mind hunter.
Yeah, very similar to that, where he would figure out, you know, based on his style of writing and the slang he was using, they were figuring out like regional dialect.
Where it could be. Okay, yeah. Sure.
So, and it's a good story about this young FBI agent who finally found him. But so he comes on to the FBI. And they recruit him to come work on the Unabomber task force. They got hundreds of FBI agents working on this task force. They've been working for 17 years, haven't found this guy. And then finally, as you remember, Unabomber released his manifesto, 56-page manifesto. I think originally was trying to get it published in the New York Times. I think – I don't know if they or the Washington Post. But anyway, so they're hunting this guy. And then every before the manifesto comes out, every little lead that this main character tries to follow, his boss is like, nope, that's stupid. We're doing this over here. So finally, the Unabomber releases a 56-page manifesto. It comes into the office. I think the New York Times got it, and then they forwarded it on to the FBI. And the dude is like, oh my God, this 56 pages of clues. Like we get, and his boss is like, we're not going to read that shit. No, nobody wanted. The powers that be had no interest in reading the manifesto from the guy you've spent 17 years hunting.
I feel like that's bad television writing.
I mean, I hope it
but
is.
But I love the idea of a police chief who's like, we got a witness. No, you don't. Sir, we got to leave. Nuh-uh.
He was nuh-uh everything. And like the guy's like, well, because they were too busy following a lead somewhere.
Walking through police tape at every crime scene, wearing clown shoes, touching everything. None of this is real. You don't need it.
They had some weird little piece of evidence where like they found a piece of paper with the indention, like not on that paper, but you could tell written on another piece of paper, of like a guy named Nathan R. They found some piece of paper with the indention of, and they're like, no, we're going to figure out who this Nathan R. guy is. Mm. And the guy's like, there's 56 pages. Like, it's from him, obviously. There's no mystery that he wrote this. Can we read it? He's like, nah, don't worry about that shit. Follow our lead. Back to, as Mulaney says, back to my hunch. But, like, it was so frustrating. Like, you fucking idiots.
I do agree that that's a tired. Like, the young cops got the fresh eyes, and the old cops are still like, I mean, I'm not sitting here writing a new take on a procedural police drama.
Yeah.
But, the old, no, we got.
But, it was the worst example of that, of just, and there was two bosses. He had, like, his immediate supervisor and then that guy's boss, and both of them just every lead this guy had. Nope, we're doing it this way. The way that hasn't worked for 17 years, we're going to keep doing that.
That's because one of these days it will work, and it'll prove to everybody this is why we do it.
So anyway, good show, but that won the last bet.
This is how dumb I am. Is Ted Kaczynski's not the Unabomber?
Yeah, he is.
He is?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Ted Kaczynski.
Is Oklahoma City also the Unabomber?
No, that's Timothy McVeigh. But they both had bombs.
No, I legit can't keep those things straight.
Yeah, Kaczynski was the Unabomber, and Timothy McVeigh was Oklahoma
Unabombers City. went to professors.
He mailed pipe bombs to college professors, to computer industry folks.
He was afraid of technology.
Anti-technology.
That's what he was. Okay.
He lived in a little bitty, like, 80-square-foot shack in Montana.
He was the guy. I remember people before joke Halloween costumes were a thing, and like tasteless Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. My buddy just going with the hoodie and sunglasses one year, like the year it was like that was the drawing.
That's a good Halloween costume.
Yeah, and it was like, ooh, perfect. Like in the early days.
I mean, as long as he's not carrying around a birthday cake that looks like a pipe bomb or something, you know. I don't think that's incredibly.
Is that
tasteless.
How he delivered him birthday?
No,
cake?
No, I'm just saying if he had some prop that was supposed
my
to
my one
be
buddy. Did I ever tell you a story about my buddy Brian, who's Filipino and showed up to an Italian Halloween party? Dressed as an Italian guy?
I think so, yeah. What, refresh my memory.
He just shook, so I was like with like the leather bomber jacket and like the red, white, and green sandwich hat and a baseball bat, because like they always beat the shit out of people with baseball bats. And he shows up, and it's my Italian friends throwing a party, and he knew him too, but he shows up, and he's like, how the fuck you guys doing? Kiss my fucking ass. You know, Italy's shaped like a boot because it kicks fucking ass. And as soon as he walked in, we're like, that's hilarious. You're going to get the fuck out of here right now. They're going to kill you. They're going to use your bat to beat the shit out of
Where's
you.
Where's your vinegar peppers?
Yeah. Just give me peppers. Give me sweet peppers. What's the sandwich? What is a pepper sandwich?
I don't know. Pepper sandwich? That sounds good.
Yeah, egg, pepper, and egg.
Oh, peppers and eggs.
Pepper and eggs.
Yeah.
Come on, you're the Sopranos.
Well, yeah, but you left out the egg part. I just thought it was a sandwich full of peppers.
Well, I just couldn't remember the second ingredient.
That sounds pretty good. But yeah, apropos nothing, Unabomber, Manhunt, good show, but God, I got to do some research to figure out if they literally, like, the bosses had no interest in reading the 56-page manifesto. Just, nah, that's a lot of words. Ain't got time.
How did he get Unabomber? Just because
they explained
by himself?
It. University and it was some acronym. Like, yeah, it meant because originally he was sending them to universities and then something to do with an A and they just Unabomb. So, yeah. That's
not Unibomber?
Yeah. That's a fascinating case, though, man.
Is you know, I don't know enough about it. Oh, he's a child prodigy.
Yeah, the dude was smart. Went to Harvard.
16.
Yeah, smart dude. But, and then I'm assuming this is true. But like
smart doesn't mean safe.
In the show, I guess this is true, but there was like a scene.
University and airline bomber.
Like his internal monologue, he was just talking about, I'm 53 years old and I'm still a virgin. Well, all right.
Oh,
maybe
nobody.
You got to get out and mingle a little bit there, buddy.
Maybe you just need a uni blowjob. Yeah, maybe living in a shack isn't going to do the best for you.
But yeah, I mean, that whole concept of, well, I mean, just like what happened in Austin a few weeks ago, bombs. That's terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Was Kaczynski part of he was part of MK Ultra, they think?
Oh, really? I don't know about that.
Yeah. It was saying he was an undergraduate at Harvard. He was a research subject in an ethically questionable experiment conducted by psychology professor Henry Murray. I wonder. One of them, I don't know if it was Kaczynski or it had to be Kaczynski because he was of that age. He was in the same age as that time when the MK Ultra. Mm-hmm. That's what that Wormwood is on Netflix.
Oh, really?
It's about the MK. Like,
I haven't seen that yet.
One of the scientists that. He like jumped out a window and people were like, oh yeah, he killed himself. But it's like, no, because that was when the government was just giving people acid and see what it would do to people.
Wow.
And he freaked out, you know, jumped out a window, killed himself. And it was, I started watching. I didn't watch the whole thing. Anyway. Okay. Well, we got, yeah.
Yeah, man.
What's anything cheerful outside of bombs and. I mean, you're living in a place now.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. It's good news. These are good news. We got good news.
Feeling good, man. Back indoors.
It's warm out again?
Like a normal person, yeah.
Yeah, it's warm out. You got AC. We're living like real people. What are we going to talk about now that you don't live in a van?
Oh, man. I don't know. We'll have to come up with something.
Yeah, what about where's the – this is going to put a dent in our subject matter.
Well, now I got more time to hunt coyotes. And
you're in the right neighborhood for it. Keeping the neighborhood safe.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put you on the Nextdoor app as a coyote hunter. Mm-hmm. Like, take out ad space. Like, mm-hmm. I'll just get a shot of you. Don't go sexual with this. I'm thinking shirtless with, like, bandoleros, Dave Stone coyote hunter.
Uh-huh.
And we'll just advertise it as you ethically dispose of them. And that's ambiguous. Nobody knows what that means. You know, maybe you choke them out, sleeper hold.
Yeah.
And then inject them with a serum.
Yeah.
You know, ethically, ethical coyote disposal. Dave Stone's ethical coyote disposal. Oh, Oh, that's, I just, some, you know, somebody listen will put together some, but somebody knows Photoshop.
I like it.
Put that up, and I'm going to, I'll put it on the Nextdoor app for your neighborhood.
Oh, that's good.
Fuck, just to see the responses of people. What does ethical mean? It means don't worry about it. It means they won't even know that they're not coyotes anymore.
Yeah. It means don't worry about
coyote, coyote domestication.
Mm-hmm.
That's you. You coyote domesticator.
Yeah.
You like that? What, that's Caesar Milan of coyotes. I just love the idea. I just love the idea. You just out there trying to talk to him first, and like, well, it escalated.
I'm fascinated by him. I literally, that wasn't hyperbole. I heard a whole pack right outside a room, and I was like, I'll be right back. I just wanted to go look at him, you know?
Yeah, watch him go eat that cat from the missing poster.
Oh, that always bums me out.
I can't anywhere in L.A. Missing cat, nah.
That bums me out.
You don't have a cat.
I walk around the reservoir in Silver Lake when I'm sculpting my body. And
that's where I live. That's their home.
Near the dog park.
Yeah.
Near the dog park, they've got just dozens of lost cat, lost dog.
Your cat is fucking gone.
He's in a coyote's belly.
Your cat's gone.
Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, I reckon.
Well, I got a good one for you today, buddy. I'm very excited about this topic. I feel like I got to redeem myself from Boyd Bushman. You know, I got a little overzealous with his story, and when I was reading into it, I was like, oh, okay, so this is technically just hearsay. This is third-hand accounts. I got a similar story.
Well, all right.
However, this is first-hand account from this guy.
Okay.
All right. I stumbled across a dude named Charles J. Hall. Charles J. Hall, he's got a master's degree now in physics, or he's an astrophysicist, or I don't know, one of those sciences.
Just established with Kaczynski. Yeah. You could be smart and still be crazy.
True. But there's dozens of interviews with this guy. He's written 4 books. He's got a book series called the Millennial Hospitality Series. And what it is, dude, and he's a real soft-spoken, kind of nerdy guy. He doesn't seem like a verbose, loudmouth, hey, I'm making this shit up because I need attention. He's like a real nerdy, soft-spoken dude. But, and all right, so he's about 73 or something now. But in 1964, he enlisted in the Air Force. And a year later, he was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base in Indian Springs, Nevada. That is now known as Creech Air Force Base. Same Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they changed the name. But I think maybe you even pointed out, I think Nellis might have had something to do with old Bigelow.
I'm looking it up.
I think Bigelow was doing something out there. But anyway, it's just a few miles northwest of Vegas, Indian Springs, Nevada. So dude's out there from 65 to 67, and he does something with weather. He's a weather analysis. I forgot what his exact title was, but he's the dude out there doing all these weather experiments, keeping charts and graphs and crap like that. So he's stationed out there, a weather observer. And during the 2 years that he's out there.
Weather observer.
65 to 67.
I think that's Bartles and James' job also. Weather observer.
Just observing the weather.
Getting cloudy.
Uh-huh. Just checking on time.
Clouds are getting cloudier.
This dude, Charles Hall.
I work for the government.
He encountered, his 2 years at Nellis Air Force Base in Vegas, or in Nevada, just outside of Vegas, he encountered a race of tall, white aliens, hundreds of them, which he later dubbed the Tall Whites.
The Albanian Olympic basketball team.
The Tall Whites. They were stationed and working at Nellis, he says, since the 50s. He said the Tall Whites were at Nellis Air Force Base because they struck a deal with the U.S. government back in the 50s where the Tall Whites would essentially rent out space at Nellis Air Force Base in exchange for providing the U.S. government with alien technologies.
Struck a deal.
Well, he said that the Tall Whites had been, and the way he describes the base, like the outer perimeter of Nellis, or now Creech, is a fairly standard operational Air Force base, but there's an inner perimeter where the Tall Whites had their base, And he explained that they just worked out a deal with the U.S. government. Said, hey, we're going to rent this space out as kind of an intergalactic pit stop, so to speak. And if y'all let us hang out here and have a base here, we'll give y'all some alien technology.
Why do they need a spot?
Maybe they're, you know, traveling around the galaxy. They need to...
That's my question. What are aliens going... like, all right, we're aliens that can travel through galaxies. We also are going to need a condo in Vegas. we would also like to spend our winters in Vegas.
I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, that itself could be a cover for something more. You know, maybe they're like just want to hang out and learn about Earth. But yeah, he says that he worked with hundreds of these tall whites. Now let me explain to you what these tall whites are all about.
Please,
all right,
please.
Tall whites can grow
low fat.
They can grow up to 8 to 9 feet tall.
It's a flat white.
They have a lifespan of 700 to 800 years.
Right.
And by the way, this Charles Hall, I mean, there's dozens of interviews where he's given like 1.5, 2 hour speeches, and he talks in such great detail and so casually, just the same way you or I might tell a story about our family. Like, just like, why is this? I don't know why this is so fascinating. This is just how it is. And so they can live to 700 or 800 years. Now, you get this. He says the first 400 years, they're about 5 to 6 feet tall. Then they have a second growth cycle around 400 years. And then
you're going to wait 400 years just to go through puberty?
Yes. And then once they get to that
400 years of weird boners. 400 years of, like, jerking off in the shower.
In that second growth cycle, that's when they grow to 8 to 9 feet tall. Says their skin is white as a piece of paper. Their eyes are twice the size of humans. Their eyes are blue when they're young. And as the males grow older, their eyes turn pink. Their hair is platinum blonde, and it grows just like human hair. And he says out here, out there at Nellis, he says there were men, women, and children. It wasn't just like
children,
tall, white,
400-year-old children.
Tall, white soldiers or anything. They had family units and – just working. He said it took him 6 months. Like, I don't know. The way he describes it, he wasn't really in a special program. There wasn't any, like, special classified. It was just like he started working there, and then holy shit. And he says it took him, like, 6 months to comprehend and grasp that he himself wasn't going crazy.
He got a job looking at weather, mm-hmm. and then they just let him hang out with aliens.
According to him, yeah. He wasn't in some special program or
aliens
anything.
That just – breathe our air.
Yeah. He says they wore form-fitting one-piece jumpsuits that emitted glowing white light, and the suits also allowed the tall whites to levitate. It's crazy shit, man. He said the tall whites occupied the inner perimeter of Nellis, like I said, while the Air Force occupied the outer area. And in the inner perimeter, the tall whites worked on their spacecrafts. They worked on various projects, and they even had recreational areas and living quarters.
What did they?
He didn't go in. I didn't read the details about. But he's just like, I mean, it's like a resort for aliens.
Cross stitching.
This is where we play horseshoes. This is where we go backpacking. But he's just like he was describing as like just tall aliens walking around.
I love that the website proofofalien.com. has an article. It's 10 evidences of tall white aliens in Charles Hall's book. So they've found evidence at proofofalien.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of their proofs is that there's a children's playground at one side of the desert where the kids of the aliens can play. That's the proof. Mm-hmm. Of course there's aliens because they made a playground.
It's a seesaw.
Which would be disappointing if you're... How tall are they?
8 to 9 feet tall.
How are you going to use your playground equipment?
Maybe it's big.
What do you use?
There's a huge seesaw.
The rings?
Big old monkey bars.
Then you got somebody from Hasbro coming out there manufacturing alien-specific playground equipment, and they're keeping a secret? That's the problem. Like, all the stuff that has to go in. Imagine that. Imagine that's your top secret clearance for the Air Force. You did everything, special missions around the world. Top secret flyovers, spying, thermo imaging of Russian bases. And what's your biggest secret mission? The alien kids want a swirly slide, but they can't use the regular ones because they're too tall. So you got to make a big swirly slide. We can't contract on the outside because they'll spill the beans. You're a top secret engineer. How can they swing? Like, can you make a swing set, but it's tall for the alien kids?
Get the fuck out of here. Dude, my brother was in the Air Force for about 15 years.
Did he have to make swing sets for aliens?
And I texted him today, and I said, hey, man. I said, you don't have to answer this question. But I was like, you ever come across, and I said boogie monster type stuff because he listens. He knows what I'm talking about. It's like, you ever come across any boogie monster type stuff? I'm reading about this Charles Hall who lived with aliens out on Nellis. Yeah. And he's out of the Air Force now, so I don't know how that works. And I go, I know you probably can't answer that. And he texted back, wink, wink.
Is he a guy that would be a funny guy like that?
No, no.
Oh, so he knows.
I think my brother knows some shit.
Don't throw him under the bus. You should have said unidentified source. That's why they're tapping your phones, Dave.
Who's tapping my phone?
The guy in the fucking tower thing.
You think that's what's going on?
Although I don't think you have to go to a phone line. Nobody has a phone line anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
They're tapping something.
But yeah, I think my brother knows some shit. Anyway, tall whites.
I know one of the guys I talked to was in the Navy. He's like, they absolutely shot down Flight 93.
Really?
He's like, oh, that was a given. They shot that down because they didn't know where it was going, so they shot it down.
Wow.
But give people the narrative that, you know, civilian heroes took care of it.
Hall said that the tall whites were fearful of humans because even though they were very tall and seemingly physically fit, their bones were very brittle and they were physically weaker than humans. Hall learned that if a tall white got injured, like during their space travel or while on Earth, that they would have to go back to their home planet to recuperate because it takes them like 10 times longer.
The insurance wouldn't cover them here.
It takes them 10 times longer to heal up. So like he said,
it takes you 400 years just to
get
armpit hair.
So their healing process is 10 times longer because and Hall gives an example of one time he himself like scratched his hand or something working on something. And and by the way, the way he tells these stories, it really is fascinating because he just tells it what's the big deal? There's aliens everywhere where I worked. And he's telling a story about one time he scratched just a real minor scratch on his hand, and some of the aliens like saw it and were like worried about him. And he goes, oh, no, it's fine. And later that day, he put some ointment on it or whatever. And the next day, it had almost completely healed. And the same aliens, like, it apparently blew their mind how quickly he was able to heal. Because they were like, oh, it takes us 10 times longer, and we have to go back to our home planet.
What is... He works for the Air Force.
He did. Yeah, he's been retired for quite a while.
I just can't get past, like, they just let me hang out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chuck Hall.
Paul White's explained to Hall that sometimes, this is interesting, when their crafts would enter our atmosphere from wherever they were coming from, they were talking about how the Earth's gravity waves would cause severe turbulence within their aircrafts, causing the tall whites to sometimes get injured inside the crafts, like get tossed around. I don't know why they didn't have seatbelts. Mm-hmm. But he says the tall whites explained that the Earth's gravity waves were less intense on full moon nights, on nights when there was a full moon, and that often whenever they wanted to enter, come back down to Nellis, they would do it on full moons. So that's something to start looking for on full moons, seeing if we see...
All I'm coming up with Charles Hall is also that Julia Louis-Dreyfus's son, his name's Charles Hall, and he plays basketball for Northwestern. So I'm like, wait a minute. Also, this guy's a...
I think that's a different guy. Hall said early in his encounters with the tall whites, he said sometimes they would hypnotize him by pointing a small white pen, like an ink pen, at him, and it would hypnotize him, and then he would wake up a couple hours later losing time, having no idea what happened in that time from when he was out. They don't eat meat. This is gross. He says they would carry small bags of what Hall described as mushroom pudding. He would see them carrying and eating little bags. I don't know what the hell mushroom pudding is.
I mean, I could see it being like a nice pot pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cream of mushroom.
But he
soup.
Says they don't eat meat. They're plant eaters. There's an
it's
area.
Not the same guy who designed the waterbed, is it?
I don't think so.
Because I could see that being like, oh, the aliens told me about this. That a waterbed would be a thing. If some guys like aliens told me about this, I'd be like, that, weird enough. But
you ever sleep on a waterbed?
Not the same Charles Hall.
They were so popular when I was a kid. That was like a sign of like of luxury and affluence if so-and-so had a waterbed.
Yeah, until one broke and it was a sign of look who fucked up their whole house because of a dumb bed.
I never – I like lay down on a few here and there, but I never got the big appeal of a waterbed.
Yeah, I don't think they're good for you.
Yeah. There's an area of the base called Dogbone Lake. It's a dry lake bed. This is where the Tall Whites land their spacecraft. This is really funny. You're going to like this.
They never have evidence.
Get this. He says often the Tall Whites, they would. He said they were just like humans. They would get tired. He said they had a dry sense of humor. But he said they were just like humans in the sense that they had, you know, somewhat human emotions that they liked to have fun. He said often to unwind, this is what they would do. They would put on disguises, hats, sunglasses, clothes, human clothes, and they'd go to the casinos in Vegas. And CIA members, or not members, handlers would accompany them. So you got these Tall Whites.
CIA, you got a 9-foot alien with some Oakley blades and a Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
fucking no.
Maybe the really tall ones they wouldn't let go because I could see how that would be hard to explain to the general public with this.
Which ones aren't the really tall ones?
Well,
called Tall White.
But he says,
oh, look at this 9-foot motherfucker with no sunburn in
the
Vegas.
Ones under 400 years. Once you get to 400 years, that's when they get their second growth spurt. But he says up until that point, they're 5 to 6 feet tall. So maybe the 5 and 6 feet tall ones, they would go and just blend in. But he said that numerous times, I don't know if Hall himself would accompany them, but it was just common knowledge on the base that they love to go party in Vegas. That is so funny, and I can't wait to go people watching next time I'm in Vegas.
This guy
well, and
where's one picture? Give me one picture.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't have any pictures.
He's got no picture.
No, I think he was afraid to photograph him.
He's afraid to photograph. He'll go to fucking Caesar's Palace with him. Mm-hmm. Wearing Hawaiian shirts over their translucent skin.
Yeah.
But he didn't want, God forbid, we take a picture of him.
He tells a story about.
He does tell a story.
The women were very protective of the children, and that often, more than once in conversation, the women Tall Whites, the female Tall Whites, would ask him, hey, do you realize that we care about our children way more than human mothers care about their children? He said that was they were really adamant about proving that point. And he was always like, oh, okay, no one's questioning the love of you have for your child. But that like a lot of conversations would start that way. And that it was taboo to even like touch the children, like even accidentally or in passing. That like one time, one of the kids like ran near him and he tried to like maybe touch the kid to like keep him from falling off a ledge or something. And and one of the female Tall Whites just almost lost her shit and killed him.
All right.
I mean, and this, I'm just barely scratching the surface. Like there's so many, I mean, literally there's dozens of interviews with him out there and this guy's got just hundreds of stories and anecdotes about these Tall Whites just living there.
I mean, I still believe that there is a connection of alien. I think this guy, if this is more disinformation being put out to try and throw people like me who know that there's something going on with aliens and government, but then you get this guy who, oh, they just let me party with aliens. And aliens love to party. And they got a condo in Vegas. Also, not a single picture, not a single bit of proof, other than one guy telling stories.
Yeah. Now, he says these Tall Whites are not to be confused with the Nordics or the Palladians. Pleiadians? Not Palladians. Pleiadians. We'll get into that soon. I want to talk about them.
Right.
They're often confused with the Tall Whites. I think they're more Nordic and like blonde hair and maybe a little more buff, where these tall whites are just completely white, tall, skinny, mm-hmm. Platinum blonde hair. But he says, I think it's funny to think about a tall white getting a haircut. He says their hair would grow just like humans, and they would need haircuts.
If all this is, like, then how is it not just a version of a human being?
Well,
that's what I'm going to, that's my, been my thing from the beginning.
Maybe it's a hybrid.
Big head with the eyes. They still got arms and legs. They still got torsos and heads on necks and shit. That's a version of a Homo sapien to mm-hmm. me. That is some, you know, advanced version of what we already are. And it's been my feeling from the beginning that there's no aliens, just travelers that have returned.
Ooh, yeah.
Or travelers, or that the similar development of our planet is occurring on other planets that can support this particular line of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Of, and you know, of all the infinite possibilities in the universe, that in different stages of development, like right now, somewhere there's a fish crawling out of the ooze for the first time to mm-hmm. walk on land.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also aliens that can travel through portals mm-hmm. because that's the more advanced version of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're evolutionarily on just a spectrum of everything that's going on. If you got oxygen, nutrients, sunlight, whatever the necessities to create us as we are, or variations of that that have created what else is out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my stance on it. This guy, like, not a single photo. No picture. No, like, oh, here's my best friends, the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't walk out of there with one strand of hair. They're getting haircuts, and they're just sweeping up alien hair in an alien barbershop. That, I'm supposed to believe that? I'm supposed to believe the guy's just in there? Like, what do you want? You want, like, a high fade? What do you want? Keep it long in the back, standard.
What if they had the chart on the wall with the 25 different haircuts?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll take the number 5 there.
You want to try something different? You want to go for a bold new look for spring? What do you want? Or you just want to keep with this Edgar Winter thing you got going on, you and the rest of these fucking goofs? That was The Simpsons, where they were like, oh, zombies, and then it ran over Edgar Winter.
Ooh.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I do remember that one, but I didn't think about that. But Edgar Winter and what was it, Johnny Winter, his brother?
Yeah.
Ooh, those guys could have been tall whites. They were some pasty bastards.
Yeah, albino.
Yeah.
Albino.
Were they technically albino?
May as well look it up in the information box.
But yeah, so that's an interesting theory, what you said about this is a whole other topic. Maybe we'll do this next week or soon, but alien-human hybrids. There's some mm-hmm. stories going around. I read some stuff recently about just the concept of, like, all these aliens might have human DNA. But, yeah, there's so many different types.
That's what I think it is.
The Pleiadians, the tall whites, you got the reptilians, you got the grays. We talked about who else we talked about? The Zeta Reticulans, those guys.
Oh, which ones were those?
They're like the grays, but a little different.
I can't keep track.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all these guys. But
are we going to go to? Did we miss that alien con?
I think we did. But just this concept has always fascinated me. The concept that, like, we always think of aliens.
It's in June.
We think of aliens. We think of, like, the grays, and we think of ET, and we think of, you know, UFOs. But, like, the concept of aliens walking among us, looking very similar to humans. I mean, all right, that that classic video when we're talking about the Men in Black, that mm-hmm. video, the surveillance hotel surveillance video of the two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those could be some tall whites. Those are some tall white pasty bastards.
I'll look that one up again. Men in Black hotel lobby. Let me see these guys again.
Yeah.
Let me get a beat on
to recount
these.
That story. These two men in black, tall, skinny, identical-looking white weirdos.
This was after a UFO sighting yep. in Niagara Falls, Canada.
Mm-hmm. And the managers, the one that was talking to the newspaper or some news outlet about this UFO sighting, a couple days later, these two dudes come in asking for the manager. He wasn't there that day, but his employees were freaked the hell out. And they told him that these two tall, weird white guys were coming in looking for him. And sure enough, he gets on the surveillance camera, rewinds it to yesterday, boom. There's that video.
I'm looking at, I mean, they're tall, but they're not beyond average tall.
Oh, I think they're way beyond average. They look
Oh, they got other people walking around in this video. They're maybe, I mean, they're tall, they're but tall. They're not yeah. 8 feet tall. They're not ducking to get through the doorway.
They're pretty tall, though.
They
haven't reached their 400 years. Enough.
These guys could be Hasidic Jews. I can't see the curls coming out of the hats, but that could be. Have we explored that the men in black just dressed exactly like Hasidic Jews?
Oh, God.
Well, all right.
But yeah, four books. I tried to find them. The two bookstores I went into last week didn't have them. And
can't believe he's not
$35 bucks a book. By the way,
flying off the shelves.
And from I've read
millennial. What's it called? Millennial Hospitality.
Millennial Hospitality series.
Sure.
I've read reviews of them that talk about how they're very poorly written.
Yeah.
And but they were using that as like, well, this could be true because they're poorly written. He's clearly not writing these books for. Believe that, like, he's not doing this for fame or money. It's just like an average. He's just a dude who's got these stories about these aliens.
Or maybe he's crazy and also doesn't know how to write. Like that. Like, oh, he's got to be doing it for information because the books suck.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're like, who kept sending us all that shit? All those self-published books.
I don't throw them under the bus.
All right, we won't throw them. But like so much self-published stuff, like look at this evidence. And uh-huh. It was like a blown-up, pixelated picture of a symbol on a – like this is
– There's not a lot of vetting process.
No, there's zero vetting. There's zero vetting. Anytime you hear the word self-published, yeah. Back away. Mm-hmm. You mean you couldn't even get one other person in this world to be like, yeah, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, man. Pretty fascinating. Well, it's just too...
Self-published is the open mic of the literary world.
Yeah. But just the concept of, like, what if this guy's not lying? Like, what if...
Well, what if none of these people are lying?
Well, then,
the problem
yeah,
is, give me some fucking proof.
Yeah, I get that.
Stop just coming out of the woodwork going, I was top secret physics. Nuclear physicist, and when I went to the base, they let me hang out with aliens for many years, and here's my detailed account that can't be backed up by anybody, and also I have no proof.
And I get that, but things happen to us every day that we can't prove. I can't prove the story I just told you about the guy climbing up in the pole. That happened. Can I prove it? No. But I'm not lying.
But it also
crazy.
Has elements of the real world. The pole's real. Uh-huh. People are real. People that can climb up those poles are real.
Mm-hmm.
You could have taken your phone out and taken a picture. You could have confronted that guy.
Mm-hmm. But no,
you didn't tell me.
I get the desire for proof, but like just because there's no proof, I'm not going to automatically discount it.
Okay, but I'm getting like every story has no proof.
Mm-hmm.
I need some proof, which is when we watched that Mirage Men about how they would discredit everything. Like take somebody that believes in it and then even push them further. Like, yeah, it is real. Yeah, it is real. To give them even more fuel that if they are unhinged, make them push them to be even crazier. So that discredits what they did see as truth. You fed them even more information just to make them sound even crazier because the truth is crazy.
Yeah.
Or discredit because they are on to other, you know, the guy that kept seeing top secret stuff happen at the base. They thought it was aliens. Like, it is aliens. Because at least this guy screaming about aliens took the heat off of them doing top secret military testing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if this nutcase did see something, but really it's just genetic testing on human beings, please go out there and tell people it's aliens and also keep up with your horrible literary career. Because that helps us even more when actually all we're doing is just these are the first human clones that went real wrong. These are the first crop of super soldiers that are actually have the most fragile bones in the world. They can't be out in the sunlight and they eat mush, you know. And we had a shit batch of super soldiers.
And he says later in their lives when they get to be 8, 9, sometimes 10 feet tall, he goes they get really sickly. Because their bones and their skeleton continue to grow, but their organs stay the same size, their internal organs. Therefore, that causes some sort of weird.
How does he know? How do you know what happens to somebody like over 900 years?
I mean, I think
this is some Methuselah shit.
Well, they were telling him. They told him all these stories. Like, He became real chummy with them.
They told him.
Yeah.
By the way, when I turn 700 years old, my bladder is about 6 feet long. It just stretches with my body, very thin.
This is fascinating. I know it's just this dude,
no,
and he's got no proof.
Yeah,
but
I want proof.
What if he just humor me? What if he's telling
humor
the truth?
Humor you. This fucking what show if, should be called Humor Dave.
What if he's telling the truth? If this is real, this is the most fascinating story I've ever heard.
If all of these are, if they're telling the truth.
Yeah, but I'm saying, all right, okay, I'll admit, the Boyd Bushman thing, he heard, that was him telling a
third hand. You sold me
that's
this
third one. Hand account.
Yeah,
this is first hand
bullshit from this fucking guy. This is the guy making up the lies, not the guy eavesdropping on somebody else making up the lies. If it's true, delightful.
Why would he make this up?
Because he's fucking. Why does anybody make any of it up?
But yeah,
because people are crazy.
It's one thing to be like, "Yeah, I've seen a UFO," when you didn't, or maybe you saw something else. This guy's got hundreds of stories, incredible details. If this is bullshit, he's a world class psychopath to make up all these details.
They're out. I mean, they're out there. We just saw Ted Kaczynski. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're smart and then you throw crazy on top of smart, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
If you're crazy and dumb,
yeah,
you're just out there getting in bar fights, you know, trying to fight traffic. But if you're crazy and you got intelligence behind it,
yeah,
that's when you think you got to take out society from the inside by pinpointing enemies. I think this guy stumbled on. I mean, maybe hybrid, maybe alien-human hybrid stuff, maybe because Vegas is the epicenter of all the shit that happens in Roswell and all the stuff that crashes, whatever they're testing out there. I still think that if knowing that we can clone somebody's pets, you know that the government is out there fucking around with human DNA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and if these fucked up pseudo-human creatures – or like, you know what? Chuck's our weather guy. Chuck's the Navy weatherman. Just tell him like you're 600. Make up some bullshit for this guy because he snoops around, but he's harmless.
Now there aren't photos, but there are some like composite sketch drawings.
Oh fucking no! Yeah.
Look like Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, they all do. They all do all the time.
I don't know,
not a knock on Tilda Swinton.
No, she's a handsome gal. She is. She's cute.
She's a fucking weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
She might be an alien. She might be an alien.
Mm-hmm.
That's bigger proof. If somebody's like, you know, Tilda Swinton, she's an alien. I'll follow that lead.
Mm-hmm.
She morphs into those roles so seamlessly.
We got to go to Vegas and just hang out and people watch.
Yeah, well, we got to do a lot of shit.
Since they love to go to Vegas.
I you know what? I don't mind. Best spot in Vegas is the balcony at Margaritaville.
Oh, yeah?
Because Margaritaville's not cool enough for the young kids, so you usually get some elbow room.
Okay.
You get a nice margarita and just sit out there and watch the goofballs walk up and down the strip. That's my spot.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be O'Shea's, but they kind of fucked up O'Shea's.
Hmm.
That was like a real dump in the middle of the strip, and they kind of cleaned it up.
I like Old Vegas.
Old Vegas is fun.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And that where you hear about our buddy. I won't say his name because he may not want people knowing this. We got a friend who was in Vegas.
So Androsky?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he told everybody.
Oh, he told everybody?
Yeah, he fucking won. Yeah, Josh Androsky won $1 million on a Big Bang Theory slot machine.
Big Bang Theory.
He was playing ironically.
$1.2 million.
Yeah.
And it was like they were leaving. They were like, come on, it's time to go. He was like, one more. Let me go hit that machine real quick. And like, not like he was sitting there feeding quarters into it all day. Like, it was like a passing thing, and oops, he won $1.2 million.
And then used the money to run for sheriff. And everybody doesn't know who Josh Androsky is, find the viral YouTube video of guy on mushrooms at Price is Right, and that's our pal. No, I think he was open about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that that's the same guy.
Yeah.
like that in this world, that's proof. You know the guy that took mushrooms and wound up on Price is Right, won $1 million in Vegas and ran for sheriff with the money? That's I'm so happy to be able to not only say that sentence as factual, but also know the guy involved with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Great dude,
like,
too.
Like, thank God you are looking at this world for the game show that it is mm-hmm. and playing it in the right way.
Yeah.
Right on, man. That's a guy that's going through this world the right way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good spirit, man.
He's one of the good ones out there. If somebody's like Josh Androsky's an alien, I'd believe that more than this fucking dingbat coming out of fucking Area 51's Lance Mountain or Johnny Mountain, whichever. What's the weatherman's name? Dallas Rains. We got Dallas Rains and Johnny Mountain out here in L.A. I was going to say Chuck Gowdy. I was going to go with the deep Chicago cut. For
oh, yeah.
We got the Area 51's Chuck Gowdy out here with the 5-day forecast. Thursday, chance of showers. Also, tall whites roaming the desert scape. Whatever. Alien Con's in June. We could still go to that. If you want to get a single day pass, I don't know if I could deal with 3 days of these fucking thing bags.
Where's it at? Pasadena?
Pasadena.
Oh, let's do it.
Pasadena's close.
I love Pasadena.
You guys, know this, Patreon members, that your money's going to go to Dave and I trying to get kicked out of Alien Con.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. So I don't know what I can do to convince you that Charles Hall is legit.
I mean, I don't want to discourage you from coming in here with this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I would just love just a piece of hair.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I would love it, too.
You got a whole alien barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
You got a fucking just extraterrestrial great clips there, and you can't get one little clipping. Psst, that's what I say.
It's so funny thinking about an alien sitting there with a schmock. Smock?
Schmock?
Yeah, it's not a schmock. It's smock.
Smock, yeah.
And
getting a little powder on the neck.
Tell it the guy. Yeah, just a little off the top. Keep the sides tight.
It's the comb in a blue water. Just drinking the blue water. This is my favorite.
It's an old Seinfeld joke.
That's it.
The barbicide. It's like, what is barbicide?
I think they drink it and they kill themselves.
All right.
It's an excellent impersonation.
Yeah, I do it good.
Let's see if old Linda Moulton Howe is playing at a...
Oh, is she going to be there?
Yep, she's there. This picture is not doing her justice.
Linda Moulton.
Rami Romani. We got a first-time Alien Con guest, Rami Romani. Guy named Robert Clotworthy. You gotta be fucking kidding me with these guys.
I got a recipe. You want to hear my recipe?
Yeah.
Pulled this one out of my ass the other night. And well, it was good. Tried my hand at making elote. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Oh,
Mexican street corn.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Made some homemade Mexican street corn the other day. All right, moved in with a lady, wonderful lady.
We're gonna expect some new recipes.
Get along great, great gal. One problem. Will not eat mayonnaise. Wants nothing to do with mayonnaise. Even though she loves my homemade ranch dressing.
She's not black.
Which is half mayonnaise. Anyway, so Mexican street corn, elote, you got to use some mayonnaise in there. I substituted mayonnaise for sour cream. So this is what I did.
Okay.
Ralph's right now, I guess it's corn season.
I guess it's corn season.
Four ears of corn for a dollar. Four for a buck.
Good corn?
That's almost 25 cents an ear.
Sweet corn?
I don't know if it's sweet. It's just corn.
Okay, sure.
But fresh corn in the husk on the cob. Four for a buck. Got me a buck's worth of that. Brought it home. First thing you did, you peel all the husk and all that shit off.
Rinse
that off. Boil it in water for about 10 minutes with a little white sugar, a little lemon juice.
Yep.
Big boiling pot of water, throw the corn in there, tablespoon of sugar, couple squirts of lemon juice, boom. Let that cook for 10 minutes, pull it out, let it cool. I then shaved it off the cob with a knife. Got a whole big mess of corn here, right? Took a red bell pepper and an onion, diced that up real fine.
Put that
with the corn and a couple cloves of fresh garlic. All right? Mm-hmm. You take all that shit, you hold the garlic like with any garlic. Hold the garlic till the end because it burns quicker. You put it in last. But I took the corn, the onion, the red bell pepper, threw all that shit in my cast iron skillet, shook it all about, let that stir around for about 10 minutes.
That's what it's all about.
Get a nice little char on that. Towards the end, last couple minutes, throw in the minced garlic. Then I take all that shit out, throw it in a big old bowl, and I took a couple glops of sour cream, threw that shit in there. Then supposed to have some sort of, what do they call that, conjata cheese, some sort of...
Cotija.
Yeah, didn't have any of that. The little white crumbly cheese that's on authentic Mexican food, didn't have any of that. You know what I did have? I had some string cheese. So I took a couple of string cheeses.
Wildly different.
And I grated it into the bowl. Mm-hmm. So I got really finely grated string cheese in there. Threw in some salt,
pepper. String cheese is mozzarella.
Yeah, most times. Sometimes Monterey Jack, but yeah. Okay. Chili powder. Mm-hmm. Chili powder, black pepper, salt, and cheese, sour cream, corn, peppers, onions. Mix all that shit together. Delightful. Absolutely delightful dish.
Because I thought you were going like on the cob when they do the mayonnaise and the chili powder and all the seasonings.
I wanted to do – I like
but
that.
But the mayonnaise throws her off.
Mayonnaise too much. And I like corn on the cob, but, man, something about eating fresh corn on the cob that has been off the cob, you know, as opposed to like a can of niblet corn. But like fresh corn on the cob that you then shave off, ooh, boy, big fan.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you get those big – chunks. You know,
oh, yeah, like the row of them.
Yeah, the row. Get the big, yeah, big row. I love that. Where you're like, oh, look, it's 20 in one.
I do love a corn on the cob. Mm-hmm. Murder on the teeth.
Yeah, murder on the teeth, especially and with the beard. Got to have a bath. You got to take a shower afterwards.
But that's like when I'm like, all right, when you tell people around, you're like, don't look at me.
Yeah.
When you can eat, you know, it's something I got to eat in private.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love just mowing down some corn on the cob.
Oh, I do love, yeah. Grilled corn on the cob.
But that sounds, that elote sounds, that sounds on
point. Dude, it was great. Yeah, just corn on the cob, shave it off, chop up a red pepper, some onions, some garlic, get that charred up for about 10 minutes in the cast iron skillet, throw in a bowl, add some whatever kind of cheese you want. If you don't have any string cheese handy, you can use the other type. And, you know, typically you put mayonnaise in there, but sour cream makes a good substitute. And chili powder, salt and pepper, and you are good to go. Maybe, you know, throw a little smoked paprika in there if you want, whatever. If you have some fresh cilantro, some fresh green onions, chives, you can throw that in there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, good times. Big old bowl of creamy-ass corn.
That seems like a good summertime dish, too.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a good
time.
Big
summertime picnic dish.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, like, next to a cucumber salad.
Yeah.
Fucking love a cucumber salad.
I do, too.
I can make a cucumber salad.
Yeah.
It's cucumbers, onions.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever the fuck else you want to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, buddy. So there we go, man. That's your recipe. We want to give a shout-out to our buddy. He's got a book out today, even though it's just Comic of the Week.
It's just Comic of the Week, but old Adam Kane Holland is on the hustle right now.
Double down on him.
Yeah, he's got a book out called Tragedy Plus Time, a Tragic Comic Memoir. It is it's a heavier – I haven't read it yet, but I know what it's about. It's a heavier read. It's about a relationship with his sister. It's kind of a tragic end. It kind of is a tragic end with his sister, but it's his relationship there, and that just came out, and he's come from the journalistic end. You know, he was one of the creators of Those Who Can't that I was in. Funny stand-up, funny actor, but also came from a world of journalism, and so I think this is probably, you know, in his vein is to write a book, and I'm assuming it's going to be heartfelt, and it might probably gonna rough you up emotionally. So know that, but also know he's a fantastic writer, so you should check that out. I think it's good for pre-order right now. So go check that out from my buddy, old ACH out there.
Good job, man.
What else we got? You want to plug anything? You want to tell people?
What do we got to plug?
Sorry it was late again.
Yeah. I always tell people to blame you.
It was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I was busy.
What you got to plug? Where are you going? You're going to Australia?
I'll be in Australia.
Just going to Australia. No big deal.
I mean, if you put my name in Australia, wherever I'm going to be, I don't even know where I'm going to be.
You doing the festival down there?
Yeah. Melbourne Comedy Festival, then Sydney Comedy Festival, then a night in Brisbane. Fuck it. Don't even see me. Sean Patton's down there, and he's still my favorite comic. So go see Sean Patton. If you're in Australia, it'd be nice if you came. I'd love it if you came to see me. Mm-hmm. But don't miss a chance to see Sean Patton.
Sean might be the best comic there is.
I think he's
definitely up there.
Yeah, and it's something to see live too. I don't think he's got a lot of documented work out there. But you see him live, and it's so in the moment, and so. But not even just like it's improv. It's like he's improvising with himself. It's just his own mind is like, oh yeah, I want to talk about this now. Oh, this leads me to, and it's just. Another good guy.
I described him to a friend. One time, they're like, "Well, what's that?" I said, "He's equal parts Canaan and Scoville." Mm-hmm. I think he's got, you know, like your storytelling chops and stand-up chops, but he's also got a big dose of Rory's...
Comedy super soldier.
Rory's spontaneity and improv skills and just, you know, the...
He rolls with it very easily.
Unpredictableness. But yeah, just, I mean, one of the most entertaining comics I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Great dude, too. Sean Penn.
What you got?
Nothing of any... I got some random spots in town that...
Dave's got spots in town.
Spots in town that maybe probably not worth coming out to see. But
don't see Dave while he does spots in town.
We're let's go ahead and plug our little run coming up in a few weeks. Where are we going to be? We're going to be in the Pacific Northwest. We're doing Seattle, Bellingham, Washington, Tacoma, Washington, and Arcata, California.
Spokane. We're in Spokane.
What did I say? Tacoma? Tacoma. Spokane.
Yeah, Spokane.
Yeah. Spokane, not Tacoma.
Gonna be out there fucking around.
Yeah, May 8th, Neptune Theater in Seattle, and then what, that whole weekend?
Bellingham is the 9th, Spokane Comedy Club, 10th, 11th, 12th, Arcata on the 14th.
Yeah, should be a good time.
We gonna be around up there. All right.
We have to set aside a day to go squatching.
You always, ABS, always be squatching.
Always be squatching. Sincere, heartfelt thank you, patrons. You got this idiot out of the outdoors. So
now you're responsible for Dave. Mm-hmm. It's on your conscience.
Also, I think I want to go back to college, so maybe we can
let's make it $5 a month.
$5 a month. Send him to school.
Give Dave let's get Dave that HVAC degree he's been so desperately hunting for all these years.
All right, holla at you boys.
Yep.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.